Hello and welcome to GOMO, to Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am Timp.
I'm Dante.
And I'm Herfy Durfy.
Whoa. Hi. Hold up. Hold the phone here. Who's this?
Well, it's Herfy Durfy still. You guys just saw me for a week. You should still recognize my voice, right?
I recognize it.
You look like Herf on the screen right now, but this silky smooth voice that I'm hearing, what's it sounds like a tall glass of water. What's going on here?
Yeah, so I forgot, was it Saturday or Sunday? Dante and I talked about this before SGL, but I had kind of forgotten about it again, to be honest. And then on Sunday, Dante walks up to me with a big Ziploc bag. And in it are not drugs, as you might expect. In it is a Audio Technica AT2020 microphone and a Focusrite Scarlett Solo third generation, I think it's called. And he said, here you go. This has been lying around in my garage. I'm not really using it. Give this a try. You know, we always joke about on the podcast that we're going to buy you a new microphone with the Patreon funds or whatever at some point. And I always figured, my $50 Samson or whatever it was microphone is good enough. It sounds a little boomy, but it's fine. And I was like, oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I took it home. It made it home safely. Nothing broke off or anything. I had to buy an XLR cable. And I had to buy a stand for it because my desk is like, it's such a weird construction that I can't really put an arm on it. It's a non-traditional setup.
Yeah. Yeah. You sent us a picture one time and you were like, where am I supposed to put an arm on this? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah,
exactly. It's not really, it doesn't really work. So the stand seems to work fine. And, you know, I obviously don't really hear a difference because I just hear myself, you know, I don't really listen to my recordings too much. So,
right.
But I hear there is a noticeable difference. And
yeah, you sent me a clip and I put it through the normal, you know, podcast filter and all that. And I can say for certain, it'll definitely save Tuesday Tim some editing time, which I love, obviously.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, very nice.
It's always about mic. Tim.
I mean, it's the first thing I think of. I mean, somebody's got to.
Fair enough.
Hopefully you as a listener are hearing that quality increase as well. And I think that's going to be pretty nice. Very nice.
Finally.
Speaking of nice, very nice of Dante to do that.
Yes, very nice. Very of nice. Long time ago, no one wanted to buy it and it just kind of sat here for forever. And I was like, you know, this would be a good idea. I don't have to ship it to him. I mean, I'm going to see him. And I asked him, I'm like, do they check your bags? And like, if you bring home things, do they charge you customs? Like, how does this work? And anyway, I don't know how they would do that. But anyway, I'm glad it worked out where I didn't have to ship it. And I could just be like, here you go. Let's see if it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The STL handoff made it possible.
Yeah, it was fine. And since it wasn't like, I think it might have been a problem if it was like original package and it looked like I just bought it over there.
Yeah.
But then if they opened my bags, they would have been like, oh, you bought this over there. So that means you didn't pay taxes for it over here. So please, you know, pay your taxes now.
Pay taxes.
But, you know, since it was just in a Ziploc bag, I could have just said, yeah, I brought this from home for whatever. And now I'm taking it back. And
I had no idea it would work like that they would charge you sales tax on something you bought in another country. I almost want to like stop the podcast and just dig into that because that kind of blows my mind to think of. I'm glad you were able to get the upgraded hardware, and gosh, it sure was good seeing y'all at STL. What's it been like being back in the real life, in the real world, in real life here?
Weird.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Dante should start because he definitely got the poopy end of the stick, yeah, so to speak.
I got home, I started a new workout routine and immediately got COVID. And I'm pretty sure it was from SGL because other people have reported that too, unfortunately. I will say, luckily, like this stint has not been as bad as the one I had last year, like in May. And so, and I'm not coughing my lungs out too bad. Which is good. I'm kind of back on my feet, but I'm still testing positive right now. So I'm kind of confined to my office and my bedroom. And I'm kind of getting tired of it because I want to get back to, like, I've got work stuff backing up now that I need to go out and do instead of doing it remotely. And it sucks. So.
Dang. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, Dante. super sucks.
It's all right.
That, you know, that like you would get the post-con crud, you know, but it especially hurts that it was at a rando event, you know, so hopefully too many people aren't dealing with it, and hopefully your recovery is speedy.
Oh, well, thanks. I thought it was con crud, and my wife was like, I need to test you for COVID because I need to know so I can go into the office or not. And so like she tested me. I barely got the swab in my nose because the first day it was like so bad. And she's like, okay, yeah, that's definitely positive. So, yeah, anyway, that was, I was just laying there kind of like, all right, cool. Guess I'll die again.
Here we go. We're doing this again.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Herf, you feeling okay?
Yeah. So I have my own little adventure story to tell about my way home, but it's thankfully not related to getting sick. But, the day before we flew back home, my cell phone reminded me that I have a train ride the next day at 2:34 in the morning because it like weirdly accounted for time zones and stuff like that. Mm. And I was like, wait a minute, we're flying overnight. My train ticket is for tomorrow. That's not great. That's a day too early. So I had to like panic book another train ticket for the next day so I could get home from the airport. And it was like a whole thing, but thankfully that worked out. And then on the way home, you know, GG's to Airy, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I sat next to him on a plane both ways for like 8 to 9 hours, and he was pretty sick while we were flying there and while we were flying home. Plus, on the way back, we had a guy behind us that was coughing up a lung the whole flight. Ooh. And he wasn't wearing a mask or nothing. He was just like hawking up along. It was so bad.
Oh, God.
And the lady in front of me decided to recline her seat fully in economy. So it was like the flight home was a nightmare. Then thankfully, or not thankfully, but the flight was late by 20 minutes or something. But thankfully, the train ride home was also late. So I lucked out there by the train being late that I still caught it and got home. But we got stopped a couple more times on the way home. And then instead of going all the way to Munich, it stopped in my city, which was really lucky because if they decided to stop like a stop earlier, I would have been stuck there. But I finally got home and everything was fine. On Friday, it was my dad's 70th birthday. So I also tested for COVID just to not, you know, infect any of the really old people at my dad's birthday
party. That's courteous of you.
Good.
Yeah. So I figured, you know, I want to go, but I'm not going if I'm positive. So I tested once at like noon and it was negative. And then I tested again at like 4 or 5 p.m. just to be sure. And it was negative again. So I think I came away with no COVID and I somehow didn't get sick from whatever Airy had. I'm feeling pretty good. The only downside I'm feeling is the good old jet lag. I'm not sure why it caught me so badly this year. I never had problems in 2019 or last year, or at least not as much. But up until 2 days ago, I was still going to bed at like 6 a.m. my time, which is midnight Eastern time, and getting up at 1 p.m., which is 7 in the morning Eastern time. So, you know, perfect for Eastern time, really useless for going to work in Germany. So I've been kind of fighting with that. But other than that, you know, I'm kind of glad to be back home, but I also miss, you know, being at the event and everything.
We miss our friends.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Travel for me, much less eventful, I think, than yours. I was like, I had to leave the hotel at 11 o'clock and it was in the middle of the Mega Man X finals, which was real shame because I really wanted to watch. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Shout out to Vex just in case we don't. But I left at 11 and like people are stopping me being like, Timp, you're heading out. Hey man, it's so good to see you. And like, I'm like saying goodbye to everybody, but I'm also like glancing at my watch. I get to the front lobby of the hotel and the van is pulling out. I put my things in and it starts to leave and I have to like pat on the back of it to get him to stop. So I just barely made the, made the shuttle. Damn. And then I get to the airport, get straight through security, straight to my gate, sit down at my gate. You know, it's about a 20 minute walk and a train ride and all that. Sit down and see that the plane has, I guess, changed because this one goes to Charleston, South Carolina, not Charlotte, North Carolina, where I needed to go. So I go ask the guy about it. He's like, oh, you need to go to a different terminal. So I walk another like 20 minutes to get to that terminal, and I make it to my plane 5 minutes before boarding starts. Mm-hmm. So I just keep going back to like, man, if I had missed that shuttle, like maybe that adds another 15 minutes and like suddenly the doors of the plane are closing. So like I really barely just made it out of there in time. Mm-hmm. And I felt very validated for leaving as early as I did, because for the longest time I was like, well, maybe I can just watch, you know, until the end of this Mega Man X race and I'll probably be fine, but like I definitely would not have been fine. So I really lucked out there. And then got home, and then I left kind of early on Sunday, so I immediately turned on, you know, Twitch, and it was like I was there. I had this weird experience of like I was on that side of the screen earlier today and now I'm on this side of the screen. It was just like, I tried to explain it to my wife and she was just like, whatever. Yeah, it's not a big deal. You were there, now you're here. Like, so what? And I was like, I'm not explaining it right. I don't know. It's weird though. So it was very strange to be back in the, like I said, the normal world, the real world.
Yeah.
Since getting back, there's a couple things that have like kind of stuck with me. So I wanted to do just like a quick speed round. I don't know if you guys want to alternate and go in turns, or maybe we just all, like I say all mine, then, you know, one of y'all goes, but there were some extra things real quick that I just wanted to share. How do y'all want to do that? Should I just rip into mine?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll do a speed thing. Sure. I mean, I'm probably going to be long. I'll try not to be though.
Okay. So I'll do my first couple and then I'll step back and give someone else a turn. So the first thing I wanted to mention was the first night that I got there, you know, I'm hanging out with some people that I met up with initially, and I hear Dante's voice turn around. And as he's walking up to me, he produces this little perler kind of icon of a big key. And I just went, Herf's got his right there that he's showing the camera. For whatever reason, I ended up like carrying this around in my pocket during the convention for a lot of the time. And when I got home, I couldn't decide if I wanted to display it in my home office or my work office. And I kind of took a few days to decide. So I had it in my pocket for a few days, like even after the convention.
Dude's just carrying it all around. All right.
And I have to say, I liked having it in my pocket for whatever reason. So first of all, I think the big key, it's like one of the cooler sprites in the game, right? Like it's a key, but it's got these evil eyes. Like it's pretty badass. And also like, it's kind of jagged and like just feeling over it, like with my thumb and just like feeling the ridges. I don't know. It just like, it's kind of cool to have with me. So I just keep seeing it. It keeps reminding me of STL and, you know, all the good times. So I wanted to say, Dante, again, you know, that I thought that was really cool. And thanks for the neat gift.
Yeah, sure. I was trying to hand out as many as I could. I brought 62 is what I ended up bringing.
Whoa,
and that's a lot.
That's awesome.
I came back with 4. So
okay, got most of them out there.
Yeah, most of them gave, and I feel bad in a way too, because like I know not everybody got one. Like you know, I could probably, if I sat here for 5 minutes, I could probably come up with like at least 10 to 15 people I didn't give one to. You know, maybe something for next year. I don't know, but I got my 3D printer working. I don't know if I ever said that on the podcast, but I was like, all right, I'm just gonna make some stuff for people. Like this looks kind of cool, and when it worked the first time for me, I was like, all right, these aren't hard to do, so we'll just be Santa Claus at SGL. Should be a good time.
Yeah, so I thought that was super cool. And another thing that happened real quick that I wanted to shout out was Sinek posted a ping and was like, hey, I'm down in a downstairs practice room. I think this was maybe Saturday morning, maybe Friday, actually. And I'm doing a hover clinic. If anyone wants to come by and learn how to hover, I'm here. That was one of the things I explicitly said I wanted to take a crack at while I was at STL. So I jumped on that opportunity, and
Yurok
was also there, who's an NMG runner. And he kind of coached me on it. And with Dante's big key in between my two fingers, which it's kind of the perfect width for that, I was able to hover a little bit. And I was using that like Mario,
You
know, that ROM hack thing or whatever, that's just for hovering. My record was 70. Which
that's pretty good.
Was a pretty good distance on screen. Yeah, I definitely like got it at one point. I was never quite able to recreate that, but I definitely like quote unquote learned, you know, the principles behind it and the roughly the speed and kind of what should be happening with the button release and all that. So it was very illuminating, and I wanted to give a shout out to Yurok for walking me through that. And several people like set records for their you know hovering. So that was really cool.
Good,
you know, in person event kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What are you guys like remembering the most from your time at
SPL? One thing I wanted to mention is I believe I'm so sorry that I'm forgetting all these important things all the time, but I believe it was a Super Metroid runner. He was walking around with Kip, who is the tournament admin for the Super Metroid stuff, a really cool guy. And, you know, we've had nothing but great experiences with him from the SGL admin side and stuff. He's a dope dude. I really like him. And every time we run into each other at SGL, we're like, hey, how's it going? You know, we fist bump, we talk a little bit. And he was walking around with another Super Metroid runner, whose name I unfortunately forgot. But he was like, hey, I saw you here last year. I watched your live episode that you guys did with the podcast. And I started listening to every episode that you've put out. And love it. And thanks so much. And it's really cool. And I'm a huge fan and stuff. And it was so awesome to hear that and to know that someone who is like, you know, primarily or maybe even only a Super Metroid player, you know, sat down and listened to all our crap and us, you know, talk about Rando for ages and really enjoyed it. And, you know, we got him, so to speak, with the live performance that we did last SGL. And I thought that was really cool and something that I wanted to share with you guys.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I heard from a few people that they wanted the live show, and I told them we were trying something a little different this year. But
really? They wanted
we might
live
have
show?
To bring it back.
Yeah. We didn't have a place to do it this year. That's if the I'm problem. Being honest.
We wouldn't have really had any chance to do it because of how the streaming setups worked out and whatever.
True. Yeah.
I'll just have to rent a room just for that.
Really wanted to. Maybe. Yeah. A little conference room on the second floor or something.
No,
yeah.
Rent out the fire pits. Like, I don't know. Do them that way.
What else?
Let me think. I mean, just in general, I thought I talked about this with a lot of the staff, and maybe that's an interesting insight, or maybe that's also something you guys can tell me from a more participant kind of view, but a lot of people, Clifford and Sigma and other people that I spent time outside smoking with or hanging out with, said this was probably their favorite SGL, and I agree. And one of the big reasons that we thought was it really felt less like, oh, there's a couple communities and they're all really insular and, you know, everyone's staying by themselves. And this felt more like a big cohesive one big event, right? I mean, obviously the community still stay within their own little groups. We have the Wind Waker guys, and we have the Super Metroid guys, and we have the OOT guys, and we have us as ALTTPR people. So obviously everyone still stays around, but like, for example, the board game room was like the big equalizer, because nobody cares what community you belong to when you walk up there and you want to play a round of Mahjong or you want to play a round of Codenames or whatever, you know. At one point, there were like 10 or 15 people around the TV playing Jackbox all together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And despite the rooms, you know, being maybe not super optimal, I think it was definitely the best SGL so far.
Mm. I would agree. Yeah. For me personally, I think it was the most fun one. I didn't pick up on that as like the reason, but I think that's a really interesting theory. And I did notice that, especially in the boardroom game, that there was a lot of like cross pollination of communities kind of getting together, which is definitely really cool. Yeah. What do you think, Dante?
Is it possible to compare 2019 and 2022 and 2023? Like, I don't know. To me, it feels like it's like apples, oranges, and strawberries. I don't know. Especially like for where I was in the community for all of these. Mm-hmm. And I know 2022 and 2023 are kind of like very similar, but with them being in completely different rooms, it kind of gave the 2019 vibe again because we were in those rooms, but it was like more fleshed out like it was for 2019 or 2022. So it was like this weird hybrid thing. So it was kind of, I don't like those rooms per se, but I also like for the stream stuff, I really like the nicer rooms, which I know are more expensive and we're probably not going to get those unless, you know, whatever. But for the tournament stuff, I like the basement stuff. I like that my phone just goes into SOS mode and I don't have to accidentally put it on, you know, airplane to keep things legit or whatever. I just like play and like no one bothers me. I don't like any text message I'm going to get doesn't come through unless it's like an iMessage or something. So I don't know. It just kind of gives that kind of like grassroots vibe, I guess is a way to put it.
Yeah, that it does, but, for sure.
But like, you know, overall, it's like, do I say this is my favorite one? Probably. If I re-experience 2022 and verbatim, you know, in the following year, I'll probably say that's my favorite one too. I was just like, I had a good time at all of them. And it's like, it just, it reminds me every year, like as soon as I get there, why I came back. But I guess like, I'll say one of the quick things, like just a fast thing. One of my biggest regrets was like being so busy with races and stuff that like, I just ran out of time to talk to people. Like I know we had like for spoiler log, I had a decent amount of content, but like I wanted to talk to more other community folks, but like tracking them down, which the time I found them, they're getting ready to play a match. And it's like, hey, I know you're about to play this match, but can you talk to me for 10 minutes? Like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, but let them do their thing. So, you know, it's always like super hard. And super shout outs to Clifford, for like taking an inebriated me over to the Zooter fire pit and just like doing this stupid introduction that was hilarious. And I'm like, all right, guys, I do this podcast. I didn't sell myself well, but we had a few people talk and I thought that was super cool. Super cool of them and very cool of Clifford.
Yeah, definitely want to give a shout out to Spoiler Log and Dante for his efforts. If you haven't yet checked out those live episodes that he released, especially the ones around the fire pit, I think that's probably the most distilled view of what SCL is really like that you don't see on the streams, you know, or in the
tournaments. Maniacal gave us a really good view of that at the end of day one. So I think it was end of day one. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we could just sit here and keep talking about SGL and reminiscing all day, and I would be super happy to do that. But I also am looking at this outline and seeing that we have a lot of stuff that we need to cover. Let's stay in SGL world, but let's shift to talking about the specifically the ALT-TPR tournament. So, Herf, you mentioned already our winner. Huge shout out to Aerie. Aerror was the overall grand champion of the ALT-TPR on-site tournament. Second place went to Obscure Lifeform, so huge shout outs to him. Still getting a nice little payday there, so don't feel too bad for him for taking second.
Nope.
And then in third and fourth, we had Ninjembro and Megawatt. So huge shout outs, congratulations to all of those folks. I did notice when I was writing this outline, did y'all see that the Wind Waker randomizer actually overtook the ALT-TPR prize pool? I don't know. When did that
happen?
More
power to it.
I saw that when I was, because, you know, as the tournament admin, it's also my job to write up for Feasel who is getting what amount of money and who won first and second and so on. So I looked because I had to split up the total amount and I saw that Wind Waker had passed us. And if you look in the channels on the SGL Discord, you can actually see at least when Feasel updated them on when the donation came in. But I'm not sure exactly when it was. It was on the 12th at 4:25 p.m. my time, so that would have been 10 in the morning, I think.
Okay.
So on but the 12th, during the event,
10 in the morning. Yeah, I think the cutoff was on the. I think that was the cutoff day, to be honest, the morning of, or maybe the evening of the Saturday. I think Saturday midnight or something was the cutoff day. Mm. And they might have put it in late and he got to it when he woke up in the morning after breakfast or something. Yeah. So they definitely sniped us, which, you know, as Dan said, more power to them. But I thought it was funny that they sniped us at the end there. It was a pretty sizable donation too. Hang on, let me go look again. It was, power to Mario. So actually we got snuck, you know, the call is coming from inside the houses, they say.
At 2 PTM?
Yes. Wow. He gave $100 to the Wind Waker randomizer. So that pushed them ahead, I guess.
Wow. That's funny. Power to Mario, like Dante said, more power to him.
Yeah.
And I did see a lot of, I felt like the, I didn't go into the stream room very much Thursday and Friday, but I went in there a fair amount Saturday and, you know, before I left on Sunday. And I feel like I saw a lot of Wind Waker happening, especially during those times. Yeah. I don't know. It could have been coincidental, but seemed like I had a pretty good representation. A lot of crowds around for those particular streams as well. So,
yes,
very good. Cool.
I want to say this on this podcast with us, because I want your guys' opinion real fast, but watching finals, you know, knowing what we know, and I know I'm hyping this up, and I kind of wanted to say this when we handed Erie the trophy. I don't think I could have, because I'd have probably like broke down, if I'm being 100% honest. But like, Erie is such a good dude in the community, and he's won, like, he went on a tear and he won a ton of tournaments, but they were like, in the community's eyes, we'll say, you know, smaller tournaments, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and there's like the main tournament, there's the league, there's this, like, I guess there's like Powerhouse Cross Keys. Don't let me forget that too. That's another big one. And, you know, I never want to say anybody deserves one, right? But like, him being like, okay, well, Fastrom's coming, I'm probably going to give up competition, because, you know, it'll mess with NMG, you know, and so on and so forth. But, you know, nothing against Obscure, Ninjimbro, Megawatt, and everybody else in the tournament. But like, having him do the walk-off win, so to speak, you know, assuming that's his last tournament that he's going to enter, I don't think I could have written like a better storybook ending. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, for such a great guy, like, you know, Erie may, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, Erie's a really good runner and he's intimidating, like, if you want to know stuff about the game, he is like the guy to go to, like, you know, mm-hmm. obviously respectfully, of course, but like, as long as you, you know, ask him and he could do it in his own time, like, he loves helping people. And he's such a good dude. So yeah, like, I don't know. I was watching that race and just kind of thinking, when he had the lead for a bit before it became an ice rod hunt, I was like, man, this is like 1998 Chicago Bulls stuff, man. Like, like, I know, like, it's just unreal. And I've said that already before, but like, you know, it's just crazy to think about, and I'm super happy it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He was sort of the favorite, but, like you said, I mean, could not write a better ending to that. I was very happy to see him win it. There's definitely a few people where if they would have made it through, that would have made for a compelling story, but I really like this Erie story. Yeah, absolutely agreed.
It's just, you know, as Dan, she said, it's kind of a great send off, to someone who said, hey, listen, I don't really, you know, I don't really want to mess with Fastrom. It messes with my head too much from my NMG stuff that I'm used to, which is totally understandable because he's an absolutely top energy runner and he doesn't want to mess with that. And then, you know, our decision to go with Slowrom to give people a chance to, you know, with the league going on and to maybe have a little overlap with SMZ3 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And to this, have this be the sort of potentially final big hurrah from Erie in the ALTTPR competitive scene. I think it's a really great send-off, and I'm especially happy that he won because of that. As Danti said, not that anyone else didn't deserve it. I think all the people in the bracket, you know, would have deserved a good win, but that Erie made it through, really great.
Agreed. Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, we could keep talking about this, but I feel this is probably a good time for us to move on. Might be the last time that we bring up SGL on this podcast. SGL 23, that is.
SGL 2024. Let's go. Let's right go. Now.
Because now we're going to talk about SGL 24. Exactly. No, but yeah, again, just to put a cap on it, had a ton of fun. I agree. My favorite year of the three that have happened that I've been to. And once again, if you weren't there, we would love to see you at the next one. I'm already making plans to come back, assuming that there is one, which I have to assume there is, judging from just the positive reactions from this one. So mm-hmm. hopefully we'll see you at the next one. All right, so let's get more into our regularly scheduled programming, some of the regular sort of stuff that we typically cover. First up, we have League Season 6, which is now in playoffs. So let's start with the Invitational. Danti, if you want, you can give us some like just general thoughts on where things are so far, even though we're not that far in, and then love to hear about the Pug's journey so far.
From the admin side, you know, things are running real smooth. You know, good. Obviously not a ton of matches because we don't have to play five in a series. It's only three. So, and you have 2 weeks to do it. So pretty good. Pug's journey so far, we are 0-1. So we are on the elimination block. Matt and I did game one spoiler pilot. I forgot how to read a spoiler log for a few minutes and that was a bad time. I'll quickly say this. We had a seed where the GT Big Key was in GT. The Thieves Town Big Key was in the like further in GT, and the Hookshot was in the back of Thieves Town. So we like, I was routing him in a bow from Thieves Town at one point, and I'm like, bro, I can't get that bow. We got to go like all the way to Laser Bridge and stuff. Like we were, I was trying to avoid some stupid stuff. And like it forced you to do some ridiculous things, and like none of it made sense. Like none of it felt fast in the moment. So I had him do a couple things wrong. Nothing really bad on his part per se. I kind of put Matt in a bad situation, and then we figured, you know, Matt can hover. So our out is get the GT big key if we're behind and we bail. Like he wasn't comfortable, like just that be the strategy. So I routed it. Like straight up, like getting the hook shot. And then we were behind going into GT. So Matt made the call himself. And I was like, he was like, look, the voice was so funny. The voice call was great because he said, listen, man, don't be upset if I fail this, because I said, look, ain't nobody going to be mad. I said, I ain't got nothing but respect for you for even going for it. So let's just see what happens. And he tried that hover so long, and Teto finally caught up, and he got a couple pixels and he fell, and he goes, where are they at now? He said, have they passed me yet? And I was like, they just passed us. And he was like, all right. Cause they had silvers too, from being in the back of Thieves Town. Mm. So, you know, unfortunate loss, but you know, equal blame. I'll take most of it just because of putting us in that situation where he felt like he had to go for it. But yeah, it was a fun race, you know, all things considered, even though we lost, like it was actually a good time. It was a very complex seed, I think, just because of like I said, of how weird it was from the piloting perspective. It wasn't great for COVID brain, but it was on equal terms because I heard Skelly had it too, and he was the pilot, so it kind of worked out. you know, not that I want that to be the equal footing, but you know,
sure.
But yeah. I don't think we have anything scheduled. We're doing retrants for game two, and that's going to be Matt and Andy versus I think Ed and Skelly. So I think we're waiting till after the American Thanksgiving holiday to get that scheduled, and that we'll see if we get a game three or if we're getting eliminated.
Okay. All right. Well, best of luck to you as you continue on in this round and hopefully future rounds. Mm-hmm. Kind of same thing for Open. You know, there hasn't been a lot of matches yet as we're recording this. We are currently sitting at 0-1. Yeah, What's the one you say when 0-1? Yes, I totally forgot how scores work for a second. We're 0-1. We lost the first one. We raced last night. Tyler was my pilot. I was the runner. We went up against Jossam Sauce as the pilot for the other team and Bidey as the runner. That was IPBJ time. It's peanut butter jelly time, also IPPJ. So clever little wordplay there. yeah, honestly, my goal, knowing I was going against Bitey and being routed, he was being routed by Jaws, was just to try to keep it as close as possible. And we were in GT when we got the dot done from them. So I felt good about that. Strangely enough, it was a non-boot seed. There were the boots were far enough in the back of GT to where it didn't even make sense to go get them before the climb. Which was honestly, yeah, kind of from a strategy standpoint, the best we could have hoped for against Bitey as an NMG runner, right? Because he's got all these strats memorized with boots, you know, especially like Dark World Traversal. But of course, that didn't matter. He's still very, very good and knew exactly how to handle every situation and, you know, handled the seed. I took one death to blind after dropping the script. But other than that, I felt like I played pretty well. Tyler routed wonderfully. So, you know, we did our best. Things ended up the way we did. We are also on the chopping block, but next up, we've challenged them to a retrans. And from what I understand, Doc and Tyler have some experience with that mode, and that nice. Might give us sort of an advantage in game two. So hopefully we take it to a game three and we're able to win that one. Otherwise, our journey in the playoffs is over. But kind of similar to the SGL vibes of this year, I would say this year in League has probably been my favorite so far. Really enjoyed, you know, the camaraderie I have with my teammates, and getting to meet Doc in person was awesome. We did some practice, some pilot spoiler practice in person right after the whole hovering thing. And even, you know, paused on some of the rooms to drill me through like the best stat, the strats for those. Cause I learned the game 6 years ago and like so many of my like muscle memory, you know, room strats are like just not right. They're not the fastest way to do it, especially in the world of quick swap. Like I learned everything before quick swap and there are so many little tricks that I've, you know, that I see that you can do, you know,
when you watch Rando, you're no longer a sponge. I think is the way, like you don't see something and go, wait a minute.
For sure.
Cause like there's stuff I see now and granted I'm kind of boomer too, but like I just see people do things now and I'm like, oh, that looks faster. And then I'll test it. And I'm like, oh, that's faster. I should start doing that. But you know, getting it ingrained in muscle memory is really hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only thing I want to push back on is I would not identify myself as boomer. So just to kind of clarify that real quick,
bro, I'm a proud millennial. You started this podcast in 2018. It's 5 years in a randomizer world. We're the rando boomers. Okay.
In rando, definitely. I'm a boomer. I guess I can get behind that. I don't like the way it sounds, but I do concede.
We're all old. Like, let's be real.
Right.
Like
I am. I am old.
I mean, I'm definitely old.
Bro, off topic, 5 seconds. I literally saw an Instagram reel the other day I did not understand, and I thought it was COVID brain, so I clicked the comments, and like it was just like comments of people typing real, like R-E-A-L, and I'm like, bro, I don't know what's happening. I just like, I scrolled away. I'm like, I'm too old for this. I was like, I'm beyond the Zoomer generation.
You never figured out what it meant? Because I'm intrigued.
It was like, I don't remember even what the video was. I just remember it was super confusing.
Real.
It was dumb. Mm. And then it was like just people in the chat saying real or in the comment section. And I was like, all right, cool.
good times.
I don't even want to figure this out. I'm out of here.
Yeah, weird.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, we will bring you another update on League again in 2 weeks. And hopefully it's good news. All right. The next thing we have a special event that's being announced. And I feel like I would love to take a sip of this water right here. Does anybody else want to tackle this one?
I'll sort of read this and kind of not verbatim because we copy pasted it terrible, but that's my fault. So Amerith and some other people are working together with ZSR to do a charity marathon for community member Ricky of Kikiri. We haven't really said anything on the podcast about this, and I don't know how public knowledge it has been, but he has been battling pancreatic cancer for a couple months now, and which is super unfortunate. And, you know, we're wishing him the best, but they're finalizing the dates to try and do this marathon December 9th and 10th as separate days instead of like an overnight thing. So I think they're going to try to start at 9 a.m. both days. And, you know, concluding 9 p.m. day one and maybe midnight on day two. And this would be like in Eastern Standard Time. So there's going to be a lot of great runs for this that are, you know, like signed up so far. So Adirondack Rick's going to be doing Zelda 1. This is not the order or the schedule yet, by the way. This is just kind of
some highlights.
Yeah. Scottish Brave and Zen Arcane are going to be doing a pilot spoiler. Aerie's going to do an NMG run. Jay Coper's coming in to do a Zelda 2 rando. Myself, Dante, and Relkin are going to be doing a Super Metroid Z3 or SMZ3 rando. We're going to co-op do it. Amerith is going to be doing Twilight Princess, which is going to be rando as well, by the way. So if you haven't seen Twilight Princess rando, you come check that out. Adalor going to be doing a couple of things. Going to be doing True Pot Hunt from ALTTPR, as well as doing a Tunic Zooter Majora's Mask combo rando. I don't know if that's Tunic and Zooter Majora's Mask combo rando, but it's possible.
That's an interesting combo.
I take that back. I see, this is where the paste is wrong and you guys can blame me. So Adler's doing Tunic, and then I believe Breadcoon and Trey Spire are doing the Zooter Majora's Mask combo rando.
That would make more sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. See, that's on Dante.
I'll just go ahead and boop. There we go.
Yeah, my bad. Danny Music's going to be doing an ALTTPR Door Seed, and Leaf, formerly Zeke Highwind, is going to be doing Oracle of Ages / Seasons, which is going to be a bid war to see which one gets ran. So, come hang out. Watch those. And, you know, if you have some extra money and can, out of the goodness of your heart, donate for Ricky, we're going to try to put on a good show so we can get some donations to help Ricky out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was so awful to hear about Ricky, and, you know, huge shout outs to Amerith and, Danny Music and everyone else who's helping put this together. And, you know, if you were as disappointed to hear the news about Ricky as we were, I think a really great way to show your support is to show up for these streams. And if you can, donate to the cause, and even if you can't, just be there to kind of show your support. So we'll have more details on that as it gets a little closer. I think they're, you know, still ironing some of that out. Mm-hmm. But we will have one more episode before it starts. So, I think I might actually, if you check the episode description of this episode, I might have the full schedule by the time this episode releases. So check on that. If not, then we'll certainly have it for the next episode. So stay tuned for that. All right. We have one tournament winner to announce. As you'll recall, we've been following, like probably a dozen tournaments over the course of this last year where we'll announce them and then we just kind of keep tabs on them. And then when they finally conclude, we let you know what happened. Well, I think the last of those is finally concluded, and this is the HMG tournament. So we finally have a winner there. Huge shout outs and congratulations to Tam. So Tam was the winner there. And also in second place was Skelly, which I thought was pretty damn impressive. Mm-hmm. to be getting out there and getting second place, especially against some of the opponents that Skelly had to take down, including the likes of Gamma and MM to NES cartridge. So yeah, huge shout outs to Tam and also Skelly. And yeah, that tournament has concluded. Anything else on that one? Pretty cut and dry.
I mean, I could tell you a story about MM2 NES cartridge if you want from STL once again, but
let's hear it. Yeah.
So I was talking to him after we all came back from STL on Ares Discord, because when I had an admin shift or just in general, he was often playing his games down in the tournament room, and he plays on keyboard, and he plays both Zelda and SMZ3, I believe, and also Super Metroid. When he plays Super Metroid, he plays on that keyboard like he's never hated anything more than that keyboard he's playing on. He is smashing that thing to death. It's so loud. Like, the whole tournament room was like, Jesus, what is happening over there? And he's just like doing like spin jumps and wall jumping and stuff. And it just sounds like everything's breaking. And he said, strangely, he plays much quieter when he plays ALTTPR for some reason. But when you play Super Metroid, he really hammers on that keyboard, and it was definitely an experience.
In his defense, when I play SMZ3, like when I play the Zelda side, it's whatever. When I play the Super Metroid side, I smash my buttons so hard. Like, it's like I want this button to work right now. It's like I'm playing dance games and I'm slamming the button down, you know? So I get it. The timing's a lot tighter for a lot of tricks, especially at the high end of performance. Mm-hmm. So like well beyond me. So I kind of get it, but it was really funny watching a couple of those tables kind of like bounce up and down the whole time in the room. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm climbing GT as he got started, because I was like, I cannot deal with this noise. Next year, I'm probably going to bring some form of, like, if I can get some cheap, like, noise canceling earbuds or headphones or something just to try and like alleviate that noise. I know
that's
like
a bad idea.
That's a good idea. I literally have some of those. It didn't occur to me to bring them, but that's a great idea.
Cause I mean, obviously you need the buds, but if you get like, you could do over ear headphones or whatever for, the tourney room, but you would need buds obviously if you're going to do the stream stuff. So, it's an idea.
Yeah. I went to a shooting range years ago and they make you buy one of those. And so I don't think renting it was an option. So like, I just still have it. I haven't used it since I went to the range.
Do you mean like the ear canceling or not like you're talking about like ear protection where it just
So that like you have your buds in, right? And then you put that over it.
Oh, okay.
When you're in the practice.
Way to do it, I think.
But that's not what you were saying? Oh,
no, okay. I was talking about getting nicer headphones like to drown out the noise. Like it just not drown out, but cancel it out. So you just don't hear it.
I mean, that's the more sophisticated way.
That's basically the expensive way. I think you did it the MacGyver way. And I like that because it's cheaper. And I'm just going to buy some headphone or like some ear protection.
They're like $15. They're probably marked up to hell because I bought them at the range itself, you know, but yeah, you can probably get them pretty cheap.
Oh, probably.
So goofy in there next year. Let's go, dude. Just big old honkers on the honking things on the side. Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Tactical Dante. Cool. All right. Sweet. Well, thanks for that added color. making that announcement a little more interesting than if I had just coldly read out the winners. And let's go ahead and get into GMP community updates. We've got a big one for you. All right. So I want to start this by saying, so I have an announcement for you, but I want to start by saying that one of the things that we want to do as a collection of community managers and moderators is provide a resource for people to understand cross keys better. So there's actually kind of a couple announcements here. I'm going to not bury the lead. I'm going to start with the larger one, which is that we are formally announcing, as in sign up start today as you're listening to this, a cross keys mentor tournament. So that is happening. I actually did a search through our Discord for the phrase cross keys mentor. And I found like four or five different people over the course of the last 3 or 4 years saying, hey, it would be really cool if there was like, oh, I don't know, like a cross keys mentor tournament. Like, does that make sense? So this is not necessarily a new idea, but I do feel like with our new team of moderators and community managers, there's a lot of renewed interest to bring new events to the randomizer community. And of course, mentor tournament, you know, is kind of our thing or whatever. So we've decided to make this a reality. Now, because there is maybe a little bit of a limit to the amount of mentors that can really confidently stand in and provide cross keys mentorship during a race, the way that we do with normal mentor tournament, we are going to have a cap to the amount of participants. We're going to say 32 people is going to be the cap for racers. And that is a really hard cap because we actually are probably going to try to do 24. If we find that we're having enough mentors sign up, then we'll raise it to 32. But we also are kind of reserve the right to do 24. It's all going to depend on how many mentors we get to sign up. The other thing is, and this is why I've phrased this the way I have, even if you don't get to participate as a racer in this Cross Keys Mentor Tournament, we are going to have a boots camp for this one, just like we have for past mentor tournaments. But obviously, it's a Cross Keys boots camp. So, you know, the kinds of topics will be like tracker discussion, common, you know, gotchas that come up in the mode. We'll have, you know, an example of a mentor guiding a mentee through a race like we did with the, you know, summer mentor tournament. So those are the kind of events we're going to have. In the sign up for the tournament, there is a new option that we have added where you can say, I only want pings and notifications for the boots camp that's happening. So if you don't want to sign up for this entire tournament, you can at least go in and click that, and we will give you the Discord role so that as those events happen, we, you know, ping you when they start. We ping you to let you know when they're, you know, when they've been scheduled for. So, and that's why I phrased this way is even if you don't want to be in that tournament, you can at least sign up for those pings. But if you want to be in the tournament or if you want to be a mentor, like I said, we're going to need a lot of those. Check out the sign up form in the description and go ahead and express your interest. So we do want to make sure this being kind of a more advanced mode that people do have sort of a baseline knowledge of ALTTPR, you know, open 7-7 Defeat Ganon kind of modes. So we are going to require that you submit a screenshot of an end card showing that you have beat a seed in 2 hours or less. That's kind of our cutoff. You just have to show proof that you've done a seed in 2 hours or less. And, you know, we're not even going to say like it has to be this seed. It could even have been a jet that was a total gimme and you got it. Like if you've got proof of that, that's all we need. And we will consider you for this tournament. It's basically going to be a first come first serve. The first 24 or possibly 32 people that sign up will make it in, but we will reserve the right to, you know, if you don't have that evidence of the 2 hour seed, we might ask you to, you know, consider sitting this one out and just participating in the boots camp events. Also, if we feel that you might make more sense as a mentor, given some, you know, public data that we can find on your cross keys performance, we might ask you to be a mentor. So those are the two things where it might, we might, you know, reach out to individuals. But other than that, it's going to be based on timing. So if you are a listener to this podcast,
go ahead. I need you to clarify something for me because I don't know if there's a listener who may be having my same question. Are we asking them to have a 2 hour time or less on a cross key seed to get into this?
Great question. No, on a open 7-7 defeat game.
Okay. I was like, bro, do you realize that like even like the upper echelon still gets the 2 hour plus like more often than not? So I was a little worried and I'm like, so we're just going to mentor the people who are the best at this, like, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is the mentor tournament in the way that like John Hopkins doctorates, like you have to be the best and then we make you a little bit better. No, thank you for asking. No, that's not what we're going for. All we want to see is that you have a base knowledge of the, I don't know how to say it, but like standard kind of randomizer.
You open are comfortable 7-7 defeat with randomizer and playing and the competing in randomizer, but entrance randomizer, it feels daunting to you. That's probably the best way to put it. You're very very competent at rando or item rando, but the entrance part is what you're lost on. So that's why we're doing this.
Exactly. So to recap some of the most important things that we've talked about here, signups are open now as you hear this, and they will be open until Friday, December 8th. So you have a little over 2 weeks to get your sign up in. Like I said, it is a first come, first serve kind of thing, but you know, just get your application in as soon as you hear this, basically, or as soon as you see this. We're going to have 4 weeks of Swiss play. Obviously that boots camp, that is going to be December 4th through the 8th. So still during signups, but in a few weeks here. 4 weeks of Swiss play, 4 to 5 weeks of bracket play, which will be a best of one double elimination. I think that's everything you need to know right now. Obviously, you know, join the Discord server and, just be on the lookout for updates. But the signups are officially open for that. Very excited for it. Like I said, it's something that's been asked for, you know, several times in the past, and I'm excited to see what happens with it.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I actually considered entering this, but in the interest of making my wife happy, I'm not going to enter another tournament right now. So
yeah, it's tough for me too. I actually think this is a great time for a tournament because there aren't a lot in the community right now. But for me as a like young dad, like it's going to be very difficult to be able to join. Otherwise, like this is right up my alley. I would love to learn more about, you know, more advanced modes like this.
Yeah, so definitely an interesting take, you know, kind of the same idea from what we usually do, but definitely not the same context, I guess. You know, where usually we try to get people into rando in general. This is like a more specified version, which, you know,
yeah, I
like
this. Is it the same vein of the glitched versions that Malmo has put on?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, this doesn't necessarily replace that. So stay tuned on that front as well for glitched MT type stuff. Cool. Okay. I also just wanted to give a quick reminder about our new assignable role that we rolled out a couple episodes ago. You can go into our, what is that channel? Bot role assignments channel near the top of our server channels list and type "rank weekly events". That will sign you up for a role that we will occasionally ping whenever we have like weekly races and things like that going on. I think we've had one or two of those so far. SGL kind of threw a little bit of a wrench in it where we were like all there and it was kind of hard to organize.
Classic.
But I believe they did have one last weekend. So Vex has been doing a good job of getting those going again. So just a reminder, sign up for that if that is of interest to you. All right, biweekly seeds. We didn't have one for the three mini episodes that we did at STL. We talked about it, but again, it was just the logistics of someone sitting down and doing it. We were too busy enjoying each other's presence and all that. So we didn't do a BWS last time. The one before that was the Enemizer that we encouraged co-op. For this one, I put it to our mods and I was like, what do you guys think makes sense? And Vex, again, I think it was Vex, or maybe it was Hawk actually, had a really good idea. To just do a regular open 7-7 defeat cannon, just like we were talking about. If you want to use this one as your attempt at a sub 2 to submit for the cross keys tournament, then go for it. Also, I just feel like we haven't done like a regular one in quite a while. So yeah, that's this true. Is like, yeah,
it's, you know, back to basics.
Yeah. So even if you're not, trying to participate in that tournament, still, this is your chance to get back in on a good old fashioned 7-7 defeat cannon. So Cool. All right. That's what we'll do. And let's go ahead and wrap it up. All right. You know, all the stuff, the ways you can reach out to us, email at, or wait, gomodepodcast@gmail.com. I haven't done that in a while. Twitter/X, YouTube, Twitch. We're in all those places. How's everyone enjoying Super Mario RPG?
Dude, so good. It's good. I'm already We're done all playing with it.
It's pretty good.
I wish I wasn't sick, but in a way it was like, it's kind of nice to be locked away just playing this.
Heck yeah.
I just want to say the last thing I had to do was get the 100 super jumps. Never did it on the SNES. Never really tried. Didn't know the timing for it. But as soon as I hooked it up, like out of handheld mode in my office today, first battle I jumped into, 100 super jumps. Easy. I was like, perfect. Whoa. Dance game timing, I guess, carried over. Yeah. Or maybe some luck or something. But anyway, that was like, all right, well, I did that. Now what? And I wish there was New Game Plus, man. I just want to replay. Mm-hmm. I just want to replay it like overpowered. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm about roughly halfway. You know, I don't want to give a lot of spoilers, but, you know, I'm very, very familiar with the original game. This one seems like a, so far, very, very faithful adaptation. So I feel pretty confident saying I'm roughly halfway through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, what a nostalgia hit. I'm absolutely loving every hour I'm able to play.
Shout outs to Structural Mike, who is already working on and almost has completed, I think, his MSU pack for the updated soundtrack. Nice. I think Andy's been testing that and it has been sounding pretty good. So, soundtrack's great.
Nice. That's one fun thing about new games that come out is you don't have to wait too long until somebody turns it into an MSU pack. Sweet. So anybody have any shout outs that are not Super Mario RPG? I figured like Herf, that I figured that was going to be yours for sure. Did you have any others?
I played it and finished it, but it's I have no nostalgia for it. I think we talked about this when it was first announced because mm-hmm. it never came out in Europe. I never really played it much. And then when I tried to emulate it, I just never connected with the graphics. But I enjoy what I played. I thought it was like a fun romp, I will call it. I definitely didn't do That's everything because I don't know all the secrets from back then. I found a couple of things, but I'm sure I missed like at least half of it or whatever. So I'm probably good for a replay at some point. It didn't, you know, super impress me, but I enjoyed it for what it was. And I think I think their insistence on being faithful to the original hampered it in some ways. Like when I jump on an enemy on the world map, why does it not do anything at all? Like nothing. Or when they run into me, it also doesn't do anything for them. It's like, okay, sure. It doesn't really detract from the game itself. It's just something where I'm like, I guess, you know, you really want it to be faithful to the original.
Yeah, I could totally see that. That kind of same thing happened with Trials of Mana when that came out. Because I played that game a bunch when I was a kid. And then the remake of that came out in, I think, 2021. And I really enjoyed it. And then you played it and you were like, Tim, this game's not good. And I was like, I get that. You know, I can actually see how that's the case. But I will never be able to comprehend that because of my preconceived.
Right. You can't forget your memories from when you played it back then. So it's totally fine. And I don't think it's a bad game or anything. Just some things where I'm like, you know, if you're going to make a remake and like put cutscenes in and stuff, at least give me like, I don't know, something when I jump on an enemy in the world map.
Yeah. Very fair. Yeah. But, so I didn't want to rob you of your shout out. Would you have shouted that out?
Not really, to be honest. I would have mentioned it.
What's your real shout
because
out?
Because I've really speed ran through some things when I came back from SGL. So we came back on Wednesday morning. It was like Wednesday noon until I came back. But I had the rest of the week off. So I had a lot of time to just get through things. So nice. I finished SMRPG, as I said. I finished the Star Ocean 2 remake, would definitely recommend, but also, you know, an old school RPG that got a little bit of a updated treatment. So, I don't know if I'd super recommend it to everyone, but I enjoyed it a lot. The new Yakuza came out, Like a Dragon Gaiden, which the man who erased his name, which I started playing, but so many games. So I'm not, I'm like, I don't know, maybe a quarter or halfway through it by now. And then the Tales of Arise DLC came out, which is apparently 20 to 25 hours long. I like that game on PS5 so much when it originally came out that I platinumed it and like got level 100 on all characters and, you know, did all the things in the game that you could do. So that's kind of, it's not super great, but it's more of the same that I already enjoyed. So I've been playing that, and that's what I'm currently making my way through. And then when that's done, I'm going back to the Yakuza game. So I guess those 400 games are my shout outs.
Very good. Yes. Okay, cool. I'll jump in real quick. I feel like there's a million things I could shout out right now, but the one I'm going to go to that I've really been digging on the most these days is, I believe it's actually a TikTok show, but I watch it on YouTube. He bounces them the following day onto YouTube. And it's Roll for Sandwich. And it's this guy who rolls D&D dice for sandwich components. So he starts with a D6 for bread, and he has six different types of bread. Then he does, I think, like a D10 for main. And it could be things like roast beef or turkey or peanut butter and jelly. Or like, you know, he has a bunch of viewers now. So he'll do like paste from Japan. You know, like he has all these like crazy ingredients. So basically, you know, the higher he rolls, the more savory and or delicious, you know, the ingredient is, and closer to one is like stuff that he doesn't like. And he switches ingredients out all the time too. But then there's a cheese roll and a roughage roll and a sauce roll and then a wild magic roll where there's like various, you know, just like spices and things like that that'll add onto it. And at the end, he eats the whole damn thing. And, you know, sometimes they turn out okay. A lot of the times they're absolute waking nightmares.
Yeah.
So it's every single episode is about 3 minutes. So they go real fast. And he's done almost 200 at this point now, if not more. So they're perfect. Like at work, I'll be like, I need a little break. I'm going to watch a Roll for Sandwich. And I'll just watch one of these little 3 minute things and be like, oh, that was entertaining. And then I'm back to what I was doing. So I've been really enjoying that. I'll link in the description his YouTube channel. But like I said, I think it's on TikTok too. But that's Roll for Sandwich. Very entertaining.
You're too old for TikTok. Dancy.
I know. Yeah, no, I truly am. I have an account, but I like never use it. So Dancy, what do you have to shout out?
Nothing. Mario RPG. So I mean, yeah, it's not been a very, I don't know, about me. I bought an air bike. It's behind me. I got that on the way home.
Air bike.
So it's all right. You know what a stationary bike is. This is kind of the same premise, but it has a gigantic fan inside of it, and basically it's like a what do you call it? A force against physics here. So like when you pedal, the harder you pedal, the harder it is because of the. Uh-huh. The force with the fan. Anyway, it's very popular in CrossFit. But my trainer had suggested I get one, and because I signed on with a trainer and literally, like I said, started that as I got back from SGL, did two exercises, and I was like, hey, I'm out. I got COVID. I don't know what to do. Tell me how you want me to proceed. So, but no, I got this used really cheap. Shout outs to Angry Pants for meeting me kind of in his area on the way home from SGL. Like I found them, this person on Facebook Marketplace, got this thing like basically half price of what it is new. And it's in like new condition, and it didn't have any accessories, like additional ones with it, but I saved like $60 in accessories by 3D printing all of them already. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
That's like what's really nice about a 3D printer. And like when people upload stuff online, it was like, all right, well, if this fails, like I'll probably buy the windscreen. Mm-hmm. The windscreen's nice because it keeps it from like blowing in your face. But like something when it's cold, you don't want that. At least I don't. But anyway,
you can take it off. Yeah.
I said I didn't have a shout out, but I guess that's it. Like I got an air bike.
That's a great shout out. That's very cool.
Maybe one day I'll learn how to ride it slow for multiple hours and I'll stream rando from it or something. Who knows? Don't get your hopes up.
Very cool. Nice. All right. Well, I feel like you have a lot of great reasons to check out the description of this episode. All of our cool shout outs and then, you know, signups for the Cross Keys Mentor Attorney and who knows what else you'll find.
Because you like to read.
Don't forget. Yeah, because it's good for your brain. And also, don't you want to click all those cool links? All right. I think it's time to get out of here. Let's go ahead and wrap this one up. I've been Timp on behalf of my co-hosts, Herfy Durfy and Dante. Thanks for listening. Let's go ahead and mirror out.